We should continue to grow. We should continue to enjoy our learning in Ritz Hashem for many, many healthy years and decades. Which brings us back to the sugya that we left off with yesterday. Yesterday we began to explore the world of Chashivas HaTorah and to use, to explore it, the lens, the tool of Birkas HaTorah. If anyone wants to open windows, I think that will enable us to practically implement our desire for Chashivas HaTorah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So yesterday we left over with five kashas. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. Number one, that we stand here at the cusp, straddling Yisrael Mishpatim, and so does the story of Mamre Har Sinai. It appears primarily in Yisrael, but then the Torah returns at the end of Parshas Mishpatim to speak about the bris, to speak about the dam, HaKarbanos. Why was it Nechalek Lishnai? Number two, the Gemara Brachas Chafal presents Birkas HaTorah as a Daraisa, absolutely on par, shoulder to shoulder, with Birkas HaMazon. Each one has its pasuk. The Gemara very clearly, very overtly equates them. I ought to learn one from the other, Birkas HaMazon from Birkas HaTorah, Birkas HaTorah from Birkas HaMazon. And you would expect that the Rambam, in his highly methodical count of mitzvahs, where rule number one is he's only counting mitzvahs daraisa, rule number two is he's only counting dinim which are specific in the Torah Shebichtav. The Gemara was eminently clear on Dav Chavalv that they are both min ha-Torah. Birkas HaMazon min ha-Torah, Birkas HaTorah min ha-Torah. That's usually a direct line from the language min ha-Torah and Shas, the Rambam counts here as a mitzvah. Yet here, Birkas HaMazon is counted. That is the mitzvah d'oraisa in Hilchos Brachos. Birkas HaTorah is not counted. As a matter of fact, Birkas HaTorah does not even appear in either of the two places you would have expected. It appears neither in Hilchos Brachos nor in Hilchos HaMatorah. It appears tucked away in Perek Zayin Hilchos Tefillah after some of the other Birkas HaShachar. That was the Rambam's, seems to totally ignore the Gemara on Brachas Chafal. That was mystery number two. Mystery number three was, the third set of mysteries, took us to the other Gemara, which the Rambam definitely does discuss and highlight. Brachas Yudalef Amud Beis, almost 10 blot earlier, where the Gemara had focused on a four-way machlokes amoraim. How much of Torah calls for Birkas HaTorah? And if we've never seen that Gemara before, the very question seems odd. I mean, if you're learning Torah, you say Birkas HaTorah first. And not only does the question seem odd, but then the fact that it seems like certainly the first three in our gears, the first three Amoraim, seem to assume that basically you make a Birkas HaTorah on Tanakh, on Mikra. It seems like the detail of machlokas is how broadly or narrowly do you find mikra? Only absolutely learning psukim from the Tanakh, or even medrash, Torah Shel Peh that's arranged on Seder HaTanakh, or maybe even Mishnayos. That's already the assumption of those first few amoraim seems to us to be Sarah Spear. Why dafka mikra as opposed to Torah Shel Peh? And then when you get to the fourth amora, who in our gear says Ravo, says Talmud as well. We saw there, Rabbeinu Yonah understands that even he is working with the same basic yisod. They basically make Birkas HaTorah Mikra, but even Gemara is ultimately all about understanding the Chumash. That was the approach of Rabbeinu Yonah. While we saw Rashi, and if you read carefully the Rambam, seems to understand that no, Rava is disagreeing fundamentally. Rava is saying, Bein Torah Shebichtav, Bein Torah Shel Peh, it's not about Torah Shel Peh in particular. Torah requires the Birkas HaTorah, which leaves us wondering, you know, why the first three Amoraim see it as rooted in Dafka Torah Shebichtav. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, why does even Rava see it as such? Or the other way of thinking about it is, what's the Nekudas Machlokas? What's the Nekudas Machlokas Halacha L'maisa, because he passed like Rava, between Rashi and the Rambam versus Rabbeinu Yonah? Or according to Rashi and the Rambam, what's the Nekudas Machlokas Amoraim between Rava and the others? What was the focus, according to many opinions, on Torah Shabbat Tzav? So number one, why is the story split between Yisrael and Shpatim? Number two, why is the Rambam not counted as a mitzvah? Number three, and Bechlal, the Rambam sort of like de-emphasizes it. He places the address that he chooses for Birkas HaTorah seems like a peripheral one. Number three, how do you understand the whole discussion about which parts of Torah require Birkas HaTorah? And specifically, what's with the shita of some Amoraim or the Machlokas Rishonim between Benyon and others, whether it's all Amram versus some Amram, about the connection between Birkas HaTorah and specifically Torah Shabbat Tzav? Question number four and question number five were both positions of the Mechaber that the Gra attacked. Question number four was a question about Hirhur, the Mechaber and the Ramah, both. And Sif Dalad, Sif Mem Zayin, and Arachayim is the Simon of Birkas HaTorah. And Sif Dalad, the Mechaber and Ramah both say, you don't say Birkas HaTorah if you're thinking and learning. There has to be some sort of expression. You have to speak what you're thinking, you have to write what you're thinking, but if you're just thinking, there's no Birkas HaTorah. If you say a psak, Rama says, you don't explain your reasoning, obviously you're thinking about your reasoning, but you don't explain it, no need for a Birkas HaTorah. So I can go to a shir, I can listen to a live shir, I can listen to a recorded shir, as long as I'm not taking notes and I'm not asking questions, there's no need for a Birkas HaTorah, which the Gra attacks. The Gra can't make heads or tails of it. He says it's true when the halacha calls for speech, mitzvahs that require amira, so there's a discussion in brachos whether hero kadiv or lakadiv or the Gra says he can't understand why it's relevant. This is not a mitzvah speech. Kriya Shema is a mitzvah to recite the Kriya Shema. Birkas Hamazon is a mitzvah to recite the Birkas Hamazon. So then Yesh La'ayin in the Gidrei Amira, you define Amira, could thinking about text take the place of speaking the text. Okay, so maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe hero is kadiva, hero is not kadiva. The Gra says, what do I do with this? This is not a mitzvah amira. Who told you if the starting point is a mitzvah amira, like Kriya Shema, like Birkas HaMazon? So then we can discuss here Kedivah Dan. The Gra says, I reject the starting point. It's not a mitzvah amira. It says a mitzvah vahagisimo. Vahagisimo means hegel libi. It means thought. The mitzvah to think. You express your thoughts in speech. You express your thoughts in writing at the time. That can enhance the learning, certainly. But the learning itself, the ma'isa mitzvah, as it were, is really a belief. So why does it matter whether you're thinking or you're speaking? Either way, you should make a pretty certain kind of mitzvah. Then, question number five was about Nashim. The Gra was upset at the Mechaber for narrowing Birkas HaTorah and excluding Hirur. He was also upset at the Mechaber, but only the Mechaber, for expanding Birkas HaTorah to include women. Why? Because we said there is a pre-existing machlokas mechaber Ramah, which is really a machlokas, Svardim and Ashkenazim, going back at least to the Ramah and the Tam, where if a woman is going to volunteer a mitzvah, Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa, the Gemara is clear there's a notion of Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa, Kodol HaMitzvah V'Yosa, Mishrei Mitzvah V'Yosa, you get more, even more scholars, you act have obligation. But from that Gemara, it's clear that there is a notion at times of volunteering a mitzvah that one's not obligated. Okay. But certainly, Kli Avon L'Pligi, a woman can listen to shofar, she'll get a kiyam mitzvah. She can shake lulav, she'll get a kiyam mitzvah. She can eat in the sukkah, she'll get a kiyam mitzvah. The question is, does she make a bracha? So the Ashkenazim, in the Talmud, and the Ashkenazim say, yes, she's not mechayev to the mitzvah. But if she chooses to do the mitzvah, then she should make a bracha. And the Rambam, the Sfaradim, say, no. She can volunteer the mitzvah, gevaldik, brucha tihi, tavo alayach bracha. Tavolach bracha min hashamayim, but you don't say Birkas HaMitzvah. You only say bracha if you're mitzvah. You only say Birkas HaMitzvah if you're mechuyev. Okay. So the question is, what should you say here? So if a woman volunteers to learn Torah, so leaving aside, again, the Gra also gets involved in the discussion, in the Gemara discussion we've shown him, the halacha, what are the bounds of to what extent a woman ought to get to volunteer get involved in learning. But to the extent that she's going to volunteer to get involved in learning, the Gra says, Ashkenazi women, it makes sense to make a bracha on voluntary Talmud Torah. The same way it makes sense to make a bracha on voluntary Nisil Zulu. But he says, and the source in Rishonim that the Mechaber is quoting is the Agur, who was an Ashkenazi. So the Gra says, I understand why the Agur said, Nashim Bracha is Birkas HaTorah. But why did the Shulchan Aruch choose to quote that without pointing out Ashkenazi women should make Birkas HaTorah. But Sephardi, why would Sephardi women make Birkas HaTorah any more than Alan Tzilzula? You want to volunteer? Go. Want to volunteer the mitzvah? Beautiful. But without a bracha. Isn't that the Sephardi approach? So those are the five kashas. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yesterday we did that on the board. Question number one, the steeper mountain tower is Nechlak Lishnaim. Number two is Rachas Chafal from Nalav. Babbo Mana. Birkas HaTorah from Mitzvah. Problem number three in Yud Aleph on the days. We don't understand what the Kesher is HaTorah Shel Chazav. Again, according to the Yonah, it's all the Amoram, according to Rashi the Rambam, it's some of the Amoram. And then there was Mem Zayin Sif Dalet. Iyur B'Torah. Why is the Mechaber not included? And then Mem Zayin Yud Dalet. Nashim. We understand why the Mechaber does include it. Those were the five questions. And where we left off yesterday is, well, you gain the impression, and particularly maybe from these last two items, the Gra's attack on the Mechaber is, I don't understand you. I don't understand you, but there's the mitzvah is the mitzvah is to think. What does it matter whether you're being maharher or you're speaking? But either way, you're kind of the mitzvah. And if a woman volunteers a mitzvah, she doesn't make a bracha lefi hasfardim. So why is the mechaber in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah Siman Tavkuf Peites? Well, you can take a look later. Maybe you looked last night, night seder, one of the marmukar was on the marmukar machine. While over there, the Mechaber in Hilchos Shofar says no bracha if a woman is volunteering to hear Shofar. And here there is. So you get the impression, well, maybe that's exactly the point. The Gra is assuming it's all about the mitzvah. So there is a mitzvah whether you're maharher or whether you're speaking. So why not have a Birkas HaMitzvah? And whenever you have a Birkas HaMitzvah, it's first Sfardim. Women don't volunteer. We can volunteer mitzvahs which they're not mechuyavas, but they cannot volunteer the bracha. So the Gra's kasha is based on the assumption that this is all about the mitzvah. So think for a moment about Birkas HaTorah. Think for a moment about Birkas HaTorah. Reb Chaim, Reb Iskarov quotes his father Reb Chaim. It's one of the only times. The only time? Sorry, one of the only times. In the Brisker of Sefer on Rambam, he quotes his father Chaim. The end of a piece, the end of the only piece in Hilchos Brachos. But let's motivate Reb Chaim's comment, which itself is a little bit mysteriously worded there, the following way. The Rambam says at the very beginning of Hilchos Brachos that there are three categories of Brachos. And they are Birkas Hananim, Birkas Shavuotah, Birkas HaMitzvos. Gvaldik. Parag Aleph, Halacha Dalet, I think. Halacha Gimel, Halacha Dalet. Very, very close to the beginning. So, he says there, again, Rambam does count Birkas HaMazon as a mitzvah d'oraisa, and that's how he opens Hilchos Brachos. He says, the mitzvah is tasei min HaTorah to be mevarach achar HaMazon, v'chalt v'zot erechta. This is midrabanan, even after other foods, midrabanan even before you eat, midrabanan even other hanaos before you smell, and then even further, not only are there Birkas Hananin, of which Birkas HaMazon is the daraisa exemplar, there's also two other types of brachas, Birkas HaMitzvahs, Birkas Shachavadah. Gval. How do you tell the difference between those categories? How would you identify a bracha? How would you look at a bracha and figure out? Let's say, yeah. Okay, and usually it's such a common phrase that in Sfarim you'll see just the Rosh Tevas, right? Akbu, Asher Kirishanu b'Misosav v'Tzivanu, unless it's unless you're making a bracha on Birkas Kohanim or Achilas Truma, in which case you get the Asher Kishon V'Kishas Shalara. But if it's a bracha, a mitzvah that applies to Klal Yisrael as a whole, Asher Kishon Sasav V'Tzivan. Right? That's usually a giveaway. It's usually a giveaway that you're dealing with a Birkas HaMitzvah. Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. Over Lasiyasan. And Birkas HaMitzvah, the Gemara says, are with very, very few exceptions. The Gemara gives one exception, and the Rishonim suggest maybe there are a handful of other exceptions. Right? But overwhelmingly, Birkas HaMitzvah are said in advance, while Birkas HaVodah and Birkas HaVodah are usually said in response to, I see the Alps, and I respond with the Osama Sabratius. I hear the thunder, I see the lightning, so on and so forth. I see the rainbow, I see a Rachmal Tzlan, I see a Beis HaKvaris. Baruch Hashem, I get to see our Yehuda that have been renewed and rebuilt. So I respond to those images with a bracha. I bear Kesamitzis, almost invariably, you say, over Lasiyasa. What else could you tell about Bear Kesamitzvah? So the timing is indicative. The terminal, that set phrase, Asher Kishon Sosav Itzivanu, Akbu. Anything else that's usually typical of a Birkas HaMitzvah? Yeah? Okay, good, very good. The Gemara Pesachim says, within a Birkas HaMitzvahs, some are al and some are le. Good, good.
You need
Kavana. You need Kavana. Okay, good. You need Kavana by Birkas HaMitzvahs. Oh, bro. Are you saying yesterday? I said, didn't mention yesterday. Nadi Yehuda says that the Birkas HaMitzvahs are a way also of generating. The original Kavana, Kodim HaMitzvah, is the Birkas HaMitzvah. What else can you tell me about the language of a Birkas HaMitzvah? It has that set phrase, Asher Kishom Sosav Yitzivanu, and then it's followed, he said, either by Al and Le, and then, after the Al and Le, what remains of the bracha? Right. A very, very brief, a very, very terse, not even description, but naming of the mitzvah. Birkas HaMitzvahs are short. Mishnayis in the first bag of brachos talking about brachos arukos and brachos katsaros. Birkas HaMitzvahs are your classic short brachos. As a matter of fact, in Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, in Siman Kuf Chaf in Yeridaya, so there is some discussion on the page of Shulchan Aruch, and Minos Kelim. What exactly do you say in advance of Tefilas Kelim? So we say Al Tefilas Keli or Al Tefilas Kelim, depending whether it's a singular or plural, whether you have been told one or many. There were those who suggest you say Al Tefilas Kelim Matchos. In our Torah, Tefilas Kelim came on applies to metal, and Rabbanan applies to glass as well. So there were those who say you should say on totally metal Kelim, and then I think it's the Shach who responds, well, if you're going to say that, so there's many other details you could talk about. Al Tefilas Kelim Matchos B'mikvah shal memsa. I mean, the goal, as he points out, Birkas HaMitzvahs are not meant to give you a review of all the halachas of the mitzvah. You're just trying to name the mitzvah. You're not trying to describe. It's just very brief. Netilas luluf, netilas yadayim, tefilas kelim. The cross is a halal. L'shema kol shofar. Just very, very brief and terse. That's a classic Birkas HaMitzvah. And with that in mind, you ask yourself, okay, so I know that Birkas HaMitzvahs are over Lasiyasan with very, very few exceptions, and they begin with the classic Asher Kodisham Sosav Yitzivanu, and then either Al or Le, and they name the mitzvah incredibly tersely. What is Birkas HaTorah? Okay, now so keep that in the back of our minds, that we'll come back to Avraham in a moment. Think about your classic Birkas HaTorah. What? How would you categorize? How do you characterize Birkas HaTorah? It's what type of bracha? Sherech Vodah, maybe? Mitzvah. What makes you think it's a mitzvah? Sherech Gishon, so it's not lastik v'divrei Torah. So what makes you think Sherech Vodah? V'harav na Hashem l'kein divrei Torah chavifinu. That's beautiful. Every single morning we don the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should make Torah sweet. For our great-grandchildren, for us and for our great-grandchildren. Stop and think for a moment. Like, we're so used to saying Birkas Torah. No, we talk about the fact that it's a tefillah that we should have children and grandchildren, great grandchildren. That children and grandchildren, great grandchildren should be involved in the Limud HaTorah. And not only that, that we and they should find Limud HaTorah to be sweet. Powerful tefillah. Very beautiful tefillah. you think about it, it gets that much more beautiful. You begin to appreciate its beauty, to taste its sweetness in a very meta way. But then you ask yourself, 1 second, that doesn't sound like a birkas hamitzvah to me. Bakasha, birkas shavah v'hodah, it's very beautiful. It sounds like a bracha, or a series of brachas. It doesn't sound like a birkas hamitzvah. Sharbachar bani mikol ha'amin osnanas tarasto. Again, we say the same bracha, and again, only also. What is that? The non birkas hamitzvah. No, asher kishon sotzivanam. Birkas shavah v'hodah, something. It's, by the way, not the only time this comes up. The other very famous time at life cycle events, you often find the two most halachically prominent. Keep it cheerful. The two most halachically prominent cheerful life cycle events both have also these sort of funny hybrid or paradoxical, I should say, paradoxical brachas. At a bris and under the chuppah. Right? Or to be more precise, at a bris and at a kiddushin. We have kiddushin and yisurin together, so it's under the chuppah. But the bir bracha on the bris and the birkas erusin. Right? A birkas erusin, bracha on the bris, so there are two birkas hamitzvahs. The mohel says, asher kishon we paskin. The mohel says, asher kishon mitzvanu al hamila. It sounds pretty classic. Clear, straight, simple. The mitzvah is mila. A discussion, la mula, la mila, whatever it is. Straight, very direct. Very direct, very straightforward. Sounds like a classical birkas mitzvah. And then the father starts saying, asher kishon sotzi mitzvanu. Okay. V'achnisa rishosh avram avinu. What exactly is that? V'achnisa rishosh avram avinu. So, the different rishonim, different approaches. It's not incredibly unlike a birkas mitzvah. It's relatively brief. So much later.
Good morning. My apologies. Rabbi Targum had texted me like a little while back. It was during vacation that he was switching it to tomorrow. I forgot. So tomorrow is good. Hope that doesn't mess up anyone's life in any way. If it does, I will help you whatever you need. Correct that mistake. Text me that channel. Okay, so it's tomorrow.
Okay, that probably makes some people more calm and some people more anxious, depending on how you deal with stress. But let's come back. I'll take questions soon.
I don't know if it's coming on, but one more thing that I want to make just worry about sacrifice, but also in terms of being able to do this stuff without doing the bracha, like, can't eat halachically without. It was more like it's a nice thing.
Okay, so I want to circle back to you about Avos Olam also. So again, come back for that intermission. At a bris, you have a second bracha, Lachnis Arisho Avam Vinu, not incredibly unlike a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's relatively brief. At the same time, Lachnis Arisho Avam Vinu does sound a little more fluid. So in the discussion we've shown him, what exactly is it about? Abu Dram, quoted by the Beis Yosef, is saying it's about sort of the broad set of all the mitzvahs the father has towards his son, all the mitzvahs of chinuch, the next couple of months and years, beginning with the mila. So the mohel make the bracha just on the mila per se, mitzvah mila. The father making a bracha on all the chinuch, the mila and being mechanech his child in Torah, being mechanech his child, making sure his child. Learns a trade, make sure his child is equipped to be economically self-sufficient, making sure his child gets a shidduch and so on. So all the mitzvahs the father has towards his child. Okay. Even more so, Birkas Eirusin, there's one bracha, one Asher Kishon Sotzi V'Tzivanu, but that's really like this, because it's Asher Kishon Sotzi V'Tzivanu Al HaRayos. Al HaRayos. I'm an Isser. When do you make a bracha on Isser? What's going on there? He started to give some of the chazar, some of the halachas, that is a context in which the halacha encourages and hallows intimacy, and there are contexts in which it's a severe avera, very important to review. Losinuf is one of the, Losinuf is one of the Sarasa Dibras, but is that a Birkas HaMitzvah? It's not a Birkas HaMitzvah, it's very much like Birkas HaTorah. In the context of Birkas Eirusin, the Rishon already debate. The Rambam and the Rosh debate explicitly whether it's a Birkas HaMitzvah or whether it's a Birkas Shavach VaHodah or something like that. Rooted in their debate whether marriage is in and of itself a mitzvah or not. The Rambam thinks getting married is in and of itself a mitzvah, aside from all the good that will flow subsequently. Marriage is in and of itself a Kiyum HaMitzvah and therefore calls for a Birkas HaMitzvah. The Rosh, in the first Perek Subas, says that the marriage itself is not a Kiyum HaMitzvah. It's a necessary hechsher for all sorts of goodness that will flow into your life later, but the act of marriage is not in and of itself a mitzvah. Highly recommended, done properly, but not in and of itself a mitzvah. And therefore, he says it's a hechsher mitzvah. So you don't make a Birkas HaMitzvah, and that's why the Rosh says it doesn't sound like a Birkas HaMitzvah, because it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. And now we come back to Birkas HaTorah. A positive life cycle event that hopefully happens in our life every single day. So what are we supposed to make of this bracha? It is a Birkas HaMitzvah, it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. There are valid arguments made on the Birkas HaMitzvah side. Asher kishon zotzi v'tzivanu, lasek v'divrei Torah, but to that point it sounds pretty Birkas HaMitzvah-ish. The word lasok is interesting. But then from that point on, discussion we shown him whether Vahar of Nah is already a separate bracha or it's a continuation of the first bracha. The continuation of the first bracha is even more striking. It doesn't sound like a Birkas HaMitzvah at all. So what are we to make of this? What are we to make of this? So the model by Birkas Erisin is you have this sort of paradoxical bracha. It starts with Cherki Shon Sotzi V'Sivana, but then it goes poetic, and it goes lengthy. So that led the Rambam to say, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, but it's just longer. It led the Rosh to say, no, it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah, but it still uses the terminology of Cherki Shon Sotzi V'Sivana. So Reb Chaim is quoted by Sam Revelvel at the end, the last paragraph, the one piece in the Revelvel Sefer Hilchos Brachos, as saying that what's the machlokas machaber and gra, what we're calling it, now questions 4 and 5, the answer is, says the Chaim, the gra understood it's a bracha the mitzvah. So if it's a bracha the mitzvah, it doesn't matter whether you be maharher or you're being kori or being kosev, you're being mekayim the mitzvah. That was the gra's very explicit point, his very explicit assertion in Siv Dal. It's a bracha the mitzvah. The mitzvah is here. You're doing the mitzvah, make the bracha. The girl is quite explicit about that. And the same is true for Nashim. The Birkas HaMitzvah, Ashkenazim make brachas on mitzvahs that we volunteer, but Sephardim don't make brachas, Birkas HaMitzvahs on mitzvahs we volunteer. So why should Sephardi women make a Birkas HaTorah if they're volunteering to learn? Says Reb Chaim, well, apparently the Mechaber disagreed fundamentally. Apparently the Mechaber thought it's not a bracha on the mitzvah, it is, to quote Revelvel, calling his father Revayim, it's a bracha not on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but on the chetzah shel Torah. As I said before, a deliciously mysterious terminology. Okay, now, again, with context, you already begin to think of, we've seen this before and we've shown him. So you begin to think of the Rosh in on Ksubas Daf Zayin, I think it's Perek Aleph Simeon Yud Beis, disagreeing with the Rambam in Perek Aleph and Perek Gimel, beginning of Perek Aleph, end of Perek Gimel of Hilchas Ishus, say, no, that's not a Birkas HaMitzvah, that's a Birkas HaVodah. That sounds like what's afoot here. Okay, that's interesting. So if it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, like the Gra, okay, here her B'Torah gets a bracha, and Sephardi women would not make a bracha. But the Mechaber says it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. So what is it instead? So again, Reb Chaim leaves a sort of vague, what's that? Bracha on the Chefza of Torah. What does it mean? Bracha on the Chefza of Torah. So, on Torah as an institution, Torah as an entity. So probably he means, it's not a Birkas HaMitzvah, it's the Birkas HaVodah. Birkas HaVodah on what? Birkas HaVodah on what? And let's consider, by the way, Rav Zsolti's Kasha, which was Kasha number 3. What's shot in Brachas Yudalef on the base? So many Amoraim, according to Ben Yonah, all the Amoraim, think of Birkas HaTorah is specifically about Mikra. Just we can debate how broadly you define Mikra. What does that mean? So, I'll try to streamline a little bit about what Rav Zsolti writes. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah applies equally to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. As a matter of fact, that might even be the point that Rashi was making. Well, let's leave Rashi aside. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah applies equally to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. One of the things that's unique about Torah Shebichsav, the Rambam, I mentioned the other day, the Rambam in Mishnah Torah is very cut dry. Rambam is b'chavana, not intentional, in his Mishnah Torah. He's not trying to say his own thing. He's trying to just present a compendium of the Torah Shebal Peh. So he's very, 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 I think, deliberately hides his own voice. In Pirush HaMishnayos, you hear the Rambam speak. It's a little more conversational. So Pirush HaMishnayos, whenever he quotes, often when he quotes a pasuk, he will introduce a pasuk as, in the translations, Amar Hashem. In the original Arabic is Kelalach. Hashem said. And it sort of wakes you up, whether it's in Arabic or in Hebrew or in English for that matter. Because it sounds like a Bavon Oseinu, with a technical pasuk. He quotes Havashvius Tishmetena Unatashta. Pasuk in this week's parasha, a source for the mitzvah of Shvitas Karkos, a source also, the Gemara says, Dharmansiya, for the notion of Hefker. So he quotes that pasuk as Hashem said, Havashvius Tishmetena Unatashta. Like, whoa, like this is. Any word in Chumash is a direct word of God. It's like a good reminder. We sometimes forget that. You're being Mavar Sedra, you're reading the words of God. All of Torah is Chachmas Hashem. Torah Shebichsav, specifically Chumash, is the exact wording that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose. The Gemara says that even Nevi'im Miksuvim is wording, it's the message is directed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the wording is human. The Gemara says explicitly, and it's the Gemara Megillah, those who have learned Megillah, who here learned Megillah? Ein shnei nevi'im esnabdim misignan echad, is that a Gemara Megillah? Maybe not. Gemara says that no two nevi'im speak in the exact same signon, the exact same style. Signon probably cognates the word signature. Every Navi has his own way of speaking. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says if a Navi sounds exactly like a different Navi, he must be a faker. If he was, sorry? Thank you. So the Gemara says, so in other words, every Navi, he's getting, Nevuah is flowing through him. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving him messages, and he expresses it in his own words. And then certainly, the text of Torah Shebal Peh, even more so, is the contents from Kadosh Baruch Hu. But obviously, the phrasing is human. So all of that is Chachmas Habor. Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal, it's all Chachmas Hashem. The quality of my encounter, the degree, so to speak, the quality of my encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more direct and more intense when I'm learning Chumash. If I remember, as the Rambam keeps reminding us subtly and importantly, it's Amar Hashem, you are reading the words that God directly dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell me and you. Wow. That's a very intense encounter of the Kadosh Baruch. If the bracha, if Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah, to say a bracha, to say a Birkas HaMitzvah and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is equally in force whether I'm learning Chumash, whether I'm learning Parshas Ki Yaseh, say Masechet Din, the same mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The encounter with that Kadosh Baruch Hu is more raw and intense when I'm learning Chumash. Or if I'm at least learning something related to Chumash, it's still a little more intense. The more levels away I am, the more levels removed I am from the text of Chumash, the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, so the more removed, it's the same mitzvah Talmud Torah, the same MS, but it's a less direct encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a less direct encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now you begin to think that when we say Chefz Shel Torah, what we mean is it a Birkas HaMitzvah on the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Or Maybe it's a big, what do you mean bigger? You were saying bigger Sha'ar Vahoda. Bigger Sha'ar Vahoda on what? Bigger Sha'ar Vahoda on what? Well, most of bigger Sha'ar Vahoda are, I see something, or sometimes I hear something, that oftentimes it's like I'm restruck by the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the physical world. I go to Har Hermon, I go to the Alps, I go to the Rockies, I see gorgeous mountains, I see stunning waterfalls, I see a sea, lightning, thunder. I'm struck by the majesty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's majesty, as expressed in his physical creation. I say, wow! So don't just say wow and let it fade away. Chazal wants us to take that sense of wonder, that sense of renewed appreciation of the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and express it in a bracha. Just like you reminded us before, that the Nevi Yehuda says that the goal of Birkas HaMitzvah is to prepare myself for the idea of what I'm about to do. The goal of a Birkas Sha'ar Vahoda is to express that sense of that encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the physical world. Sometimes encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through history. I see events where things happen. I see events where there were nisim. I see events where there was a place where there was a churban. I see a place where there was personal churban, national churban, or I see a place where there was renewal. So I make a bracha. I'm encountering a Yad Hashem in history. Huadinami, when I encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu's majesty and grandeur in his spiritual creations. When I see the beauty of, as the Rambam says, Sefer Kedusha, the marvelous thing. Rambam divide Mishnah Torah into 14 svar. One of the four is Mada, Ava, Zmanim, so on and so forth. One of them is Kedusha. If you didn't know, and I asked you, look, the Rambam categorized all of the Tariq mitzvahs between these 14 svar. Which mitzvahs would you think you would find the Sefer Kedusha? Oh, you said. Beis HaMikdash, Karbanos, Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah. None of that. Beis HaMikdash, Karbanos, and Sefer Avodah, Sefer Karbanos. Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah, that goes in Sefer Ava, the Book of Love. Love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the Sefer Kedusha? Physical pleasure. How a Jew relates to physical pleasure. Machalos Asuras, Shrita, Isuri Bia. That is the entirety of Sefer Kedusha. A lot to think about in terms of that. The Rambam already at the very beginning of Mishnah Torah, not Sefer HaMitzvahs. At the beginning of Mishnah Torah, there's a Min HaMitzvahs, and he explains very briefly how he's dividing everything into 14 Svarim. It was like a line or two per Sefer. So he has a line there, and he says, the Abdas Chemin Amin Liosli, that's specifically the way Jews relate, the way we engage in eating and intimacy. It gives particularly powerful expression to the unique Jewish lifestyle and the Kedusha that flows from that. Wow. So you come to a wedding. You say, wow, this is amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took something that we share with the rest of humanity. As a matter of fact, something we share with the entire animal kingdom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to give you a structure through which you're going to engage in intimacy, and that's going to transform it from just like a neutral animal activity, not bad, not good, just something that every member of the animal kingdom engages in procreation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you the gift of structure through which you're going to elevate this from being something just banal to something, a fantastic opportunity for Kedusha. Wow. Asher ki yishon so savet zivanu. Not in the technical sense of the Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a Birkas Sha'ar Vahoda, according to us. Wow! HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused our lives with Kedusha such a wondrous way. V'tzivan l'harayos. They said, there are people with whom we do not engage in intimacy. Aslan asar rusos. Even with the right person, there's process. Erusin is too early. Hitzilon asar asuos l'ay dechupa v'kidushin. Wow. That's incredible. It's not bad. It's not evil. But it's carefully crafted. With whom and when and how? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took something that we share with the entire animal kingdom and through his mitzvahs gave us opportunities for extraordinary Kedusha. Wow. That calls for much more of a bigger Sha'ar Vahoda than seeing the Alps are gewaldic. Seeing the Alps is gewaldic. But to see the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's majesty in his spiritual creation. Wow. That's a bigger Sha'ar Vahoda, says the Rosh, bigger Saracen. And coming back to Birkas HaTorah,
in
encounter, the encounter, when we learn Torah, we're doing what we're supposed to do. And when we learn Torah, we're learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom, and we're learning, there's ideas we're mechuyev to learn and mechuyev to understand. It's a mitzvah, absolutely. It's a mitzvah, not but, and beyond being obligation, it's an extraordinary encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You get to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, you get to learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chachma, you get to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you. That's, wow, that's unbelievable. That's extraordinary. That calls for Shefa Ata. The encounter, not with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's majesty in the physical universe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's majesty in his spiritual gifts to us, that's unbelievable. So now you begin to understand what it means, perhaps, that it's a bracha on the Cheftza. Meaning, it's not like a Birkas HaMitzvah because I'm being behind the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I am being behind the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But it's not that type of bracha. It's a bracha on the encounter. I'm encountering Torah. Forget about the fact that Torah is I have a chiyuv to learn Torah. There's no chiyuv to see the ocean. There's no chiyuv to hear the thunder. But if you do, this is how you react. So the cheftza of the barak, the cheftza of the yam, the cheftza of Torah. You encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah. Okay? So that calls for a response. And then we understand. So then we understand working backwards. We understand why the Mechaber would say, Noshim Evarchos Birkas HaTorah. They're not mechuyavos. Okay. No man or woman is mechuyav to hear the thunder or see the lightning or go see the Alps. But if you have that experience, here's how you respond. So if it's a Birkas HaTorah, men and women, it's all the same. If you have that experience, hear her b'Torah. So if you think in learning, you're certainly the kind of mitzvah. But one could argue that the experience of the encounter, the experience, the engagement is not as intense when it stays in my brain. If it's just in my brain, that's not the same degree of encounter. Mashal Amad Davar Doma, not quite the same, but Mashal Amad Davar Doma, if you're looking at an enormous flat screen, and it has a gorgeous view of the Rockies, Canadian Rockies, Denali. Gets a beautiful picture, beautiful video of Denali. It's amazing. You don't make a bracha, even though it's breathtaking. But it's not the same as seeing it live. I think the vast majority, if not all posts, can assume that if you're looking at it through a window, you do make a bracha, even though there's a pane of glass. But if you're seeing a picture, you don't make a bracha. It's a gorgeous picture. It's inspiring. But it's not the same degree of experience. So the same is true. If you're Maharer, B'divrei Torah, it's not the same degree of encounter as when I'm multimodally, not just thinking, but talking, not just thinking, but writing. The more involved I am, the richer the experience. That's what Mechaber says. If it's a bracha on the Chepta, B'Yashav Odah, here is not enough engagement. That's why there were many Amoraim who said that you're not going to make a bracha unless it's Tarshu of Sa. Tarshu of Peh is certainly a Kima Mitzvah Talmud Torah to the same extent as learning Tarshu of Sa, but not the same degree of encounter as Mamash learning the unfiltered words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, here's where it gets interesting. So, bracha on the mitzvah versus a bracha on the chetzah, right? So he said, so here we said by women, the gra's on the mitzvah side, and therefore he says, Sephardi women would not make a bracha, while the mechaber say, no, it's a bracha on the chetzah, even Sephardi women should make a bracha. The hearer b'Torah, the gra says it's a bracha on the mitzvah, and therefore hearer b'Torah should get a bracha. Or the Mechaber says, the bracha and the chepta, and therefore, conceivably, hearer is not sufficient enough encounter and experience, engagement, to warrant a bracha. Tar shebechsav. So number one, we have the shara, the first three Amorayim, who say, dafka tar shebechsav, which means, clearly, it's a bracha on the chepta. Rov Ha'amara. Right? And therefore, it's Rak Torah Shevech Zav. And then we saw even, and then Rabbeinu Yonah also says that L'chola Deus. Rabbeinu Yonah Le'halacha. Really, fundamentally, only Torah Shevech Zav. While Rashi and the Rambam, Le'halacha, it's a good question. Because they said, Afilu Torah Shevech Zav. Meaning, it's all the same. Torah is Torah. Now, the Rambam, now, one second, Rambam. The Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. But the Gemara Daf Chafal said Pasuk. The Rambam didn't count it. As we know, he did not count it. He didn't give it prominence or put it in either address that we have expected. It's neither in Hilchos Talmud Torah, strangely, nor is it in Hilchos Brachos. Rambam. So why he would normally expect, he would say, Mitzah Seh Shal Torah Levarech Kodem Shalomei, however he would have phrased it, Shenemar Kod Kishim Hashem Echo Gogelkin. The Pasuk disappeared. The Daraisa disappeared. Why? It suggests from Zolti, I'll tell you why. He more or less says the following. He says, I'll tell you why. Because that, when the Ramban does quote it, as you mentioned yesterday, Ramban says, we should absolutely quote this. Ramban says, yeah, it's a mitzvah to give Shevach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, what a gift he gave us. Let me ask you something. Up until now, we're just looking at this as, the Gemara says it's a Daraisa. Ramban counts it. The Rambam strangely rejects it. Now Reb Chaim gave us tools for thinking. If you hear a chiluk, if you hear a chakira, it's not just something nice to think about and enjoy and move on. It's a tool to now use. It's a lens, a set of categories of thought that you can now use to look at other things. So now that we have this sophistication that Reb Chaim gave us, I could think about it. Birkas HaMitzvah, Birkas HaShavuot does. The Bracha on the Mitzvah, Bracha on the Chavtza. And as I mentioned, that's exactly the Machlokas Rambam Rosh Iksubis about Birkas Erusin. So now look back at the Gemara we had seen yesterday with fresh eyes, with more nuanced eyes. The Gemara says it's a Birkas Bracha D'Oraisa, like Birkas HaTorah is Bracha D'Oraisa, just as Birkas HaMazon. What type of Bracha is Birkas HaTorah according to the Gemara in Daf Chafal? Is there Birkas HaMitzvah? Do you know of any Birkas HaMitzvahs that are Daraisa? It's a little bit of a tricky question because there are very few brachas that are Daraisa. But Birkas HaMitzvah is a Drabanan Takana. Shmuel says in numerous places in Shas, Kol HaMitzvah is Kul Mevarach Alein Over La'asiyas. The general Takan Drabanan to make Birkas HaMitzvahs Over La'asiyas HaMitzvahs. If you're comparing it to Birkas HaTorah, Hananel had mentioned before, another one of the very notable features of Birkas HaMitzvah is that it is over La'asiyasa. Remember the Gemara had said, well, maybe I should learn a Kal V'chomer. If you make Birkas HaMazon La'achareh, you should certainly make Birkas HaTorah La'achareh. La'achareh L'faneh, the Gemara is back and forth. La'achareh L'faneh, as though they're all just equivalent. What type of bracha does that sound like? Not a Birkas HaMitzvah. Not a Birkas HaMitzvah. So Zolti suggests that Ram understood this whole Gemara is understanding that it's a bracha on the Chefza. So that's the Gemara in Daf Chafal. So Rizalt says that's very nice. But the Ram said, but I have another Gemara in Daf Yudah Aleph that expulsi out of Machlokas Amarov at that very point. Is it a Birkas bracha on the Chefza, L'rov HaMarov, only Torah Shebichsav? But the Rashi and the Rama both understand that the Maskanas HaSugya, Rava rejected that fundamentally. Not just even Gemara is also Torah Shabbat. No! Rava disagreed with the whole focus on Torah Shabbat, meaning Rava rejected the whole focus on the Chafza. Not that he doesn't believe that we encounter Kadosh Baruch when we learn, but he doesn't believe that's what Birkas HaTorah is about. Because the Torah Rabbah says that's the machlokas amarah, according to Rashi Rambam. Is it bracha in the chepsa, in which case we're going to be torah shlichsav focused, or is it brichas amitzvah, in which case torah shlichsav torah. As Rambam says very clearly, ben torah shlichsav, ben torah shlichsav, it's all the same. It's a brichas amitzvah. It's a brichas amitzvah. It's a brichas amitzvah. Rambam puts it in brichas. Why is he putting brichas hashachar? Maybe because depending on how early in the morning you say it, it either takes the form of a separate independent bracha or an Ava Rab, which is curious that that should be a Birkas HaMitzvah. A good question. But the Rambam seems to understand it's not a Birkas Shevach Vodah on Limud HaTorah. No, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. Aye, but the Gemara Brachas Chafalv says it's a Pasuk. So he might say, yeah, well, the Gemara later, if you get deeper into Brachas, and Daf Mem Hey, the beginning of the seventh parak, the Gemara comes back to that pasuk with a different din. Zimun, Kishem Hashem Yakov Lelokeinu. That's the marker for Zimun. If I remember correctly, the Gemara elsewhere has one or two other dinim we might also learn from Kishem Hashem Yakov. So the Rambam would say there is an opinion of Daf Chaf Aleph that pasuk Kishem Hashem Yakov is a source for Birkas HaTorah, but we don't paskin that way because on Daf Yud Aleph that's the machlokas. What's the nature of Birkas HaTorah? And Rama says, you're passing like Rava, he's a Basra. And the Rambam understood, a classic Rambam methodology, no Chidushim, overtly, the Chidushim are how he understands the sources. He just quoted the source in the Chazal, but how he understands it. He understood Rava to be disagreeing fundamentally. He understood Rava the Talmud to mean fundamental rejection of what the early Amoraim thought. Early Amoraim thought the Birkas Torah is the Birkas Shavah done, the Chetzer Shal Torah. Rava says, no. It's a Birkas HaMitzvah, number one. Number two, classic Rambam. If there are different Makoros, he understands it's a Machlokas HaSukkos, he only quotes the ones that are the Halacha, because that's what he's trying to do. Just quote the Halacha L'maisa. So not only if there's explicit Machlokas in the Gemara, he'll only quote the Sheet to be passing like, if there are two different Makoros in Chazal, and he understands that they're arguing one another, he totally deletes the one that's not the Halacha. So that's why Rjalti suggests he totally left out Daf Chafal, because we don't pass him that way. That's a sheet of the early Amoraim, Gevaldik, the Halacha, we don't accept that. That Gemara and Chafal, if the Ram would say, is aligned with the earlier Amoraim, and Daf Yudal, but we don't pass him like them. Because shame the Rambam doesn't say only Mikra, only Medrash, he also doesn't say that it's a Bracha Daraisa. The notion that the Bracha and the Chafza came from Daf Chafal. Kishem Hashem Eker. I'm going to call, even think about the language, I'm going to call the name of Hashem. That's very, very poetic. That's very evocative. I'm encountering HaKadosh Baruch, I'm calling his name through learning. Yeah! Okay, so that was an approach in the early Amoraim, that pasuk is a makor for a din daraisa of the bracha and the chepta shel Torah. But Rava and Daf Yud Aleph said, I don't pasuk that way. There is Birkas HaTorah, but that's not what it is. It's not a bracha and the chepta, not din daraisa, not mitzvah daraisa to make a bracha and the chepta shel Torah. As Ramban did say. But the Rambam says, no. We don't accept Daf Chafal. Wow. So a lot falls into place. And now finally, and I'll take questions very soon. Let's end where we begin. What's Takip Shat? That story of Matan Torah is divided into two. You have the Yisro story. The part of the story is told in Yisro. The part of the story is told in Mishpatim. Different pieces of different episodes within those days of Mamon Har Sinai. Some appear in Yisro, some appear in Mishpatim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to give it to me in two separate presentations instead of just putting all one long telling? So if you think about it, the highlight of Mamad Har Sinai in Yisro is, there's a difference. Right? You have the hachanas, the preparation, and that there's a difference is a highlight. Teaching content, teaching Torah. That's the beginning of HaKadosh Baruch, of a 40-year process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveying Torah to Bnei Yisrael, predominantly through Moshe Rabbeinu. This week's Parshas Mishpatim, the focus is not on teaching content. The focus is on the bris. Moshe Rabbeinu is, as it were, the divinely appointed broker, to be the shadchan to arrange the permanent covenant, the permanent relationship, the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That is bris Sinai. The karbanos and the dam. And we mentioned yesterday, what phrase do we associate so powerfully with Ma'ar HaSinai that does not appear in Yisrael, but does appear in Mishpatim? Nasav Nishma. Nasav Nishma is an expression, as President Berman spoke about very eloquently the other week in Utah. Nasav Nishma is an expression, is the ultimate expression of, as he put it, covenant, which is English for bris. So Chazal talk about bris Sinai. Bris Sinai is the relationship, the permanent relationship. Bris is the al-kalpanim. And bris is a two-way relationship that's absolutely locked into stone. Even if we fail on our end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it still applies both to us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, absolutely. The permanent relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kal Yisrael is the focus of this week's parsha, of the second half of the telling of Mamon Har Sinai. Nasav Nishma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends himself with the Hazah Sadam, as Gemara in Bechorah says, Hazah Sadam is part of the Hazah Sadam implies that there was a tefillah, because Ein Hazah B'li Tefillah. That's how you know that a Geras Tovel. I know a Geras Tovel because Klal Yisrael and Parshat Mishpatim are described as being as Tovelim. Where does it say the Tovel? Well, because there was Hazah always accompanies tefillah. Notice the Geras process, the are becoming Jew, are becoming Am Hashem. The offer had been made already in last week's Parsha. Atem Tiyu Lechaz Konim Goy Kadosh. That actually happens in Parsha Mishpatim. The Hazah and the tefillah and the Nasav Nishma, Bris Sinai. Yisro, the focus is on the limud, the content, Yediyas HaTorah. Yisro, the focus is on Yediyas HaTorah. Yimishpatim, the focus is on the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yediyah and the Yahas. The mitzvah and the encounter. The Torah, perhaps, is highlighting these two elements by specifically dividing the parts of the story into the Yisro piece of the telling and the Mishpatim piece of the telling. Because, and here we close, what do we have? You see, in the world of Birkas HaTorah, it seems like there, as Chaim says, it seems like there Yesh Lacher. What's the nature of the Birkas HaTorah? Is it Birkas HaMitzvah? Or is it Bracha on the Chefter, Bracha on the encounter? One could say, maybe it's even both, said before, right? The beginning sounds like, is it two mitzvahs, or it's two brachas, or three brachas? Sure, if it's three brachas, the first bracha is just lastik b'divrei Torah, that sounds like a classical Birkas HaMitzvah. Maybe the rest is Birkas HaAvodah. Or maybe it's all Birkas HaMitzvahs, all Birkas HaAvodah, all bracha on the Chefter. But there's certainly discussion, debate, what's the nature of Birkas HaMitzvah? Does it focus on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Does it focus on the Chefter of Torah? But now stepping back, because we had said originally we're going to step into the world of the brachas in order to for it to give us a tool, a lens to understand Torah as a whole. Yesh lachker is the bracha on the mitzvah, bracha on the chefza, but kuliyam lo pligi, that tarti isbahu, that Torah does have both. We could handle which of the aspects of Torah is the focus of the bracha, but there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and there is a Chefter Shel Torah. I have a Chiyuv to learn Torah, the Chiyuv to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and beyond the Chiyuv, it's one of the most potent encounters with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So both of those are true. And I leave you with this, with a Stipler and Rav Aaron Chassid. Stipler in Brachas talks about this sugya. He's a little bit of a different twist. Instead of Birkas HaMitzvah versus Birkas HaAvodah, he talks about Birkas HaMitzvah versus Birkas HaNenin. Is it a Birkas HaMitzvah, Birkas HaNenin? I think Rav Zhalta may also touch on that a little bit. Is it a Birkas HaMitzvah, Birkas HaNenin? On the pleasure, Bracha on the Chefza, not just focus on the encounter, on the pleasure of Limud HaTorah. So I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky many years ago, the Shemer of Aaron Lichtenstein. Apparently there may be others who would say this as well. Gemara in Tanis highlights that in Yeshayahu, the 55th parak, I think, he compares Limud HaTorah, of course, of Kal Pesukim, to three different beverages. Torah Nimshel Gimel Mashkim. Maim Yayin Chalav. Water, wine, and milk. Hay Kal Tzame Lechul HaMaim. Pesukim go at it. If you're thirsty, come drink water. He's not talking about H2O, he's talking about spiritual H2O. If you're thirsty for Torah, come drink the waters of Torah. Then Yeshayahu goes on to just to metaphorically compare Torah to milk and wine as well. Now the Gemara in Tainis in Daf Zayin highlights three liquids, as though there's some like set of liquids here. There's like there's a collection, a whole picture. Water, wine, and milk. What whole picture you get from water, wine, and milk? Mix them together, you get a milkshake, wine shake. That doesn't sound particularly appealing. What's the Gemara saying? I understand water has its role, milk has its role, wine has its role. But what's the Gemara trying to get at by saying you have to look at those three together or three parts of a whole picture? So Rabbi Kamesky quoted B'Shem Rav Aaron the following. That they are a whole picture, not that you mix them all together physically, but they taken together, they give you the full structure. Because water is a necessity for human beings. Milk is a necessity for infants. Wine is not a necessity whatsoever. One can have a long, healthy life without ever drinking wine. Wine is a paradigm, is a symbol of pleasure, of the finer pleasures of life. Luxuries, not a necessity. And the Gemara is saying, and again, wine is clear, there's a larger conversation about the role of wine, is very clear in Tanakh that overindulgence in wine is a terrible, horrific thing, and it's also clear in Tanakh and Chazal that very moderate, deliberate use of wine is appropriate and elevated. So Aaron suggests that's what the Gemara is saying. That Torah Nimshal Gimel Mashkin means Torah is a necessity and Torah is luxury. Torah is what we need. Like Rabbi Kiva says to Papas, the end of Maseches Brachas, a Jew without Torah is like a fish out of water. It's what we need. It makes us who we are. Without water, a human being is in physical danger of dehydration. Without Torah, a Jew is in spiritual danger of spiritual dehydration and desiccation. This is dry out, spiritually dry out. So we need it. But it's not only something that we need, it's also something that is elevating, majestic, glorious, super pleasurable. It's both the water and milk of our lives, and it's also the wine of our lives. If you're on a hike, and they told you to bring at least 4 2-liter bottles of water on your hike through Midbar Yehuda, that might sound familiar to some of you. So if you were chachan in Barosho, you took 4 bottles the night before, you filled them halfway or 3/4 of the way with water, and you stuck them in the freezer. The next morning before the hike, a few hours later before the hike, you fill the rest with liquid water, and you put them, you throw those bottles in your knapsack, and over the course of the hike, the ice gradually melts, and you have freezing ice-cold water throughout the whole hike. Geschmack. That's option A. Option B is I forgot to put the bottles in the night before, and now I'm running to the bus for the hike, and I remember, gotta get water. Or I get to the bus, and they remind me, you can't get on the bus without water. So I run back to my room, I grab 4 bottles of water, not cold, not hot, and I bring them on the bus. And now I'm hiking through Midbar Yehuda. Within a couple of hours, those bottles will, whatever part you have not yet drunk, will not be chilly. It will be hot. It will not be enjoyable to drink. It's not hot enough to be like tea, but it's not cold enough to be an enjoyable cold beverage. It's sort of like that in-between warm, hot water that you really don't want to drink. But if you're hiking through Midbar Yehuda, you will drink it because the alternative is dehydration. So it's good for you, and you do it whether you enjoy it or not. If you're hiking in the desert, you will drink the water even if you don't enjoy it, because you need it. But ideally, you seek to have ice-cold water, which not only fills your need, but also is incredibly refreshing. You can't only drink it when it's refreshing. You need it. But you strive for it to be not only necessity, but also pleasure. That's Talmud Torah. It is nimshal to mayim and chalav, and it is nimshal to yayin as well. As Rav Vava points out at the beginning of Ali Shor, no Jew always tastes the sweetness of Torah. If I only learn because I enjoy it, I will not learn consistently, because there will be times, everyone has on days and off days. This is we showed him talk about that. Sefer Yashar talks about that. People have on days and off days. That's part of being human. And Zerubbabel says, if you only learn because you enjoy it, So then you're going to sometimes learn and sometimes not learn. But that's like only drinking your water on the hike when it's ice cold. That's not a good idea. You should seek to always have ice cold water, and you should be committed to drinking your water on the hike, whether it's chilly or not. You seek, ideally, to engage in Talmud Torah with great enjoyment and pleasure and majesty, as you did this past Shabbos, as Baruch Hashem, we're zocheh to yeshiva every day. At the same time, in yeshiva, and certainly out of yeshiva, one has on days and off days, and when there's an appreciation that there is a glorious chefza, and there's also a mitzvah. There's the pleasure and business of Talmud Torah. There's the yayin, and there's the mayim and the chal. And we engage in Talmud Torah not only because we love it, we do, not only because it elevates us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it does, but even when I'm not feeling it, no one always feels it. No one always feels it. Don't take it from me. What do I know? But Rav Alba, and he quotes from Rishon. Everyone oscillates. Everyone's mood oscillates. That's fine. You plan for it. You plan for it. And you have kviyas. And you have a recognition that as much as possible I want to engage in the Torah as wine. But even why not? It's water. When all the only drink I have left in my backpack is hot water, I'm on the hike, I will absolutely drink water every hour. When the guy says, "Okay, everyone, take a drink." Okay, if it's hot, you drink anyways because you want to keep going. But the godless, unlike a hike, is that on a hike, drinking the water even if it's hot won't make your water cold, but it will keep you going to the end of the hike. But in the spiritual hike through life with Torah, when you consistently drink from your Torah canteen, even when it's warm, even when it's not geschmack. Over time, that consistency builds you towards more crests and less troughs. Everyone oscillates from time to time, but if I'm more consistent, even when I'm not feeling it, maybe I have all the extra ben astarim. But I'm consistent with my starm, I'm consistent with my goals, even when the water is warm, even when I'm only feeling the mayim and not the yayin, over time, the accumulated impact of the consistency means that over months and years, I grow increasingly into a person who is mostly in yayin mode. And the times when I'm not feeling it, over time, that can happen tomorrow, but over time become less and less frequent. It's as though if you keep drinking your water even when it's warm, over time it starts getting colder. Imagine that. But that's the mayim, and that's the mayim of the chalav and the yayin, Yishayo Nunhe, Tainas Dav Zayin. And those are the two aspects, the mitzvah and the cheftza, the encounter or the hanah of Torah, as well as the chiyuv. There's business and pleasure of Talmud Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to embrace both absolutely. Which one is the focus of the bracha? Yesh la'ayin, maybe machlokas machaber gra, maybe machlokas Ramban and Rambam, and may Rebbe machlokas according to Ramban's Mechutin Ben Yonah, excuse me, not according to Ramban's Mechutin Ben Yonah, but according to the Rambam and Rashi, may Rebbe be machlokas Amorav, maybe a machlokas from Yudalf to Chafav, which is the focus of Birkas HaTorah, because both of them are such foundational elements. Talmud Torah includes the business and includes the pleasure, includes the chiyuv and includes the pleasurable and elevating chafza. Which one is the bracha? The bracha is focused on the good question, but Talmud Torah absolutely includes both the story of Yisro, last week's lane, and the story of Shpatim, the need to learn, and the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that flows from that learning. So this is, hopefully, be mindful of this sugya, gives us an example of Talmud Torah, our opportunity to engage in Talmud Torah in a very meta way, and also hopefully opens our minds to thinking about what we do every day in a new and elevated and more accurate way. Mitzvah, we should be able to continue to grow in this way, have plenty of bayim and plenty of yayin, all of Torah. And we're going to go do that right now. Head down to the Beis Medrash.